What's good, Hacker Public Radio? My name's Taj, and I'm here to do the customary first Hacker Public Radio episode of how I got into Linux and open source software. I've been a listener to Hacker Public Radio for several years at this point, and I've never actually contributed anything. There's been calls for shows recently, so I figured it was time to get off my butt and do something about it. If we're going to talk about how I got into open source and free software, and Linux in particular, I guess I have to start with how I got into technology. My first real experience with tech in any kind of substantial way was an Apple IIe that was in my first grade classroom. I spent lots of time on that computer playing Oregon Trail and printing out things with the color printer that we had that was loud enough that it shook the building. Not too long after that, my grandmother bought one of the first Macintosh computers. So from a very early age, I got indoctrinated into the cult of Apple. And for a very long time, Apple products were all that I used, simply because that's all I had access to. A few years later, after that, my parents went and bought a DOS machine. And once I got exposure to that, that was the first time that I actually were playing with multiple OSs. The side effect of this, as most Hacker Public Radio listeners probably know, is that I became the unofficial tech support for everybody in my family and everybody that my family knew, because I was the only person that they knew that was able to go back and forth between different operating systems and actually fix things, simply because I wasn't scared of ruining things. A lot of the time that I spent on that DOS box, which eventually became a Windows box, was programming in games in the basic programming language that I would find in the back of magazines. I'm not exactly sure which magazine it was, but I remember there was one at my local library that you could pick up, and the last page would have a page-long program written out in BASIC, and I would sit and type those in and run it and get errors and backtrack and find out where that error was and then fix it and then run it again, and kind of got a small introduction to programming. Unfortunately, that's as far as I went with programming. I wish I would have learned a little more, because it would be really handy to fix things that I wish I could fix now. All the way through high school, this is pretty much the pattern that continued. I played in the Apple world and I played in the Windows world, and frankly, I didn't know much different than those two things. I didn't even really know that Linux existed at that point. I think I tried a Nopix disk at one point just to run the live environment, and it was so slow that it wasn't really functional. So I didn't pursue that any further. I don't think it actually turned me off on Linux, because I didn't know what Linux was at that time. It was just a toy for me to play around with that didn't work very well. Fast forward to me going to college. I decided to go to college and major in music. I'd been a musician for many years and played in bands and was in the marching band at my school, and I decided that I wanted to make that my career. Once I got to college, I realized that if you're playing with music in any professional sense, you have to be in the Apple ecosystem. Most of the software that we were using at the school was Apple-based. So to do this, I had to buy a computer. So I went and bought a MacBook. And I loaded that MacBook up with all the proprietary software I would ever need to do basic audio production or recording or mixing, because that was part of the classes that I had to take. I pretty quickly became disillusioned with the idea of paying up to $1,000 for a piece of software that I felt did pretty simple things. Unfortunately, they wanted to have a standard, and at that time, the two standards that were going around were Pro Tools for music production and Final Cut for video production, at least on the level that we were doing. So I was boxed in. I had to have those programs, and I had to pay an extremely large sum of money to have both of those programs. Another time jump further into the future. Once I get out of college, I go into audio and video production, and I do it professionally. I'm still boxed in that career to using those standards. Some shops were using different things, but because of my skill set, I went straight into a shop that was using Pro Tools and Final Cut. So using any other kind of software wasn't an issue. I was kind of tied down to the Apple platform, and that really irritated me. For some strange reason, I have an aversion to being tied down to anything, any one provider. So I think inherently I was looking for an alternative. I wasn't really aware of the alternatives at that point, but I wanted something different. I think like most people, the first piece of free or open source software that I ever used was Firefox. I used it because it was amazing. It was better than anything else that was out there. And I really didn't pay too much attention to what free or open source software meant. I just knew that it worked. And at that time, I was really interested in what works. Eventually, I sat down and started researching what open source and free software meant. And I fell in love with the concept. It was exactly the antithesis of what was going on in the Apple ecosystem that irritated me so much. That the code was given away freely, that it was free to share, that everybody could work on it. There were lots of times when I was using that proprietary software where we wanted something to work a certain way and we couldn't do it simply because we didn't know how the program really worked. There were probably people who could have changed it if they had access to that code. So all of this led me to rip out everything on the MacBook that wasn't free or open source that I could. I still had to do my job, so I had to keep some proprietary software, but everything else I had managed to find a replacement that was either free or open source simply because I loved that idea so much. So hold on, we're going to take another time jump. I had decided professionally that I wanted to go into education. The world of audio and video production wasn't suiting what I wanted to do, and I kind of wanted to make a difference, so I decided to go back to school to be a special education teacher. Once I did that and I switched careers, I was able to finally get away from most of that proprietary software. The free and open source alternatives to that software were good enough to do everything that I wanted to do personally, so I didn't need to rely on that big, bulky software. I finally decided it was time to take the plunge and go whole hog on the free and open source lifestyle and try Linux out. I couldn't afford a new piece of equipment, so I just kept the MacBook I had and I set up a dual boot between OS X and Linux. At that time, I was using the Ubuntu distribution and it worked out great. I found myself going into the Ubuntu more and more and more and using the Mac side less and less and less. Eventually, in 2007, I decided to really take the plunge, and I went full-time using Ubuntu. At home, there's been no going back. Every computer that I have at my home runs Linux, the exception being my wife's laptop. She wants Windows, so unfortunately, being the dutiful husband that I am, I make sure that her Windows box runs. Now that I'm a teacher, I kind of found myself back in the position I was as an audio production person. I'm required to use the software that they want me to use. Fortunately, most of what we use is web-based, so I'm able to use it on Linux, and I take my personal laptop to school and use that. I've also become the technology coordinator for my school, and the nice thing is we have rolled out a one-to-one program for every kid in the school district to receive a Chromebook. Now, as crippled as Chrome OS is, it is Linux on the back end, and I can get into a command shell and give it commands. So my experience with Linux has actually put me in a very good position at work because I have knowledge that even the technical directors for the entire district don't have because they're not familiar with the Linux operating system. Personally, for the last year or so, I've been wandering in the wilderness of distro hopping, trying out lots of different operating systems to see what fits me the best. Ubuntu wasn't really working for me anymore for a few reasons, so I decided to play around. Right now, I've settled on using Manjaro Linux. It gives me the Arch base without having to go through an Arch install. I've done an Arch install. I can do an Arch install. But for me, the convenience of just being able to run through an installer and do it in 5 minutes outweighs doing it in the command line and learning more about it because I already know those things. I don't need to relearn them. So having that convenience makes it a lot better for me. Well, that's about all I have for how I got into Linux and open source software. I hope to be a more regular contributor to HPR. I've sat on the sidelines and listened to great episodes for years and never actually contributed anything. So now it's time for me to do something for the community. I especially want to thank 5150. He introduced himself to me in the IRC chat room a few weeks ago, and we got to talking, and he's the one who really convinced me to finally do something about contributing to HPR. So if I annoy you or this show was terrible, you can blame 5150. If you loved it, you can blame 5150. Thanks, man. Well, everybody be good. Stay safe. Peace.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.